We had a lot of fun studying theology at New College. We played table tennis, we ate bacon rolls, played football every Wednesday. We listened and talked. And the great debate was, once you swept away all the baloney, all the complexities and accretions of the centuries of thought and discussion, how could you boil it all down to the essence of Christianity? Could it all be simplified down to a sentence? That was the challenge. Sum it up in a sentence. Well, after much robust discussion, we decided that St. Paul had done it for us. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, and he has entrusted to us the ministry of reconciliation. A long sentence, but a good one. The life and ministry of Jesus. His death and resurrection was all about putting things right between us and God, making peace with God, taking those who were enemies of God and making them his friends. Because this was the problem. That was the big bust-up, way back from the beginning, from which all the other bust-ups that spoil our world sprang. And the bust-ups abound, do they not? We see it in the depressing statistics of interpersonal relationships breaking down. Plenty that is sore and raw and angry there that needs reconciliation. We encounter it on the battlefield that is inter-family strife. You may have it in your family story somewhere, where old scores are rehearsed, ancient battles revisited, tales of some brothers or sisters or cousins, infamy, retold and reinforced in the telling. The gates shut, the phones slammed down, offence taken at this or that. All around us, the acrid smell of smoke from burning bridges. The whole of our experience is littered with the broken shards of shattered dreams. In international terms, this is the issue of issues. South Africa, fragile from its shameful past, attempted to rebuild hope through the efforts, not just of the economists and the educationalists and the political whiz kids, but through the work of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. While in the tragedy that was Rwanda, a nation fractured by hate and prejudice, they also struggled to find a way to deal with its past, to bring together the divided community. Closer to home, when peace comes to Ukraine, rebuilding will require more than a quick injection of funds and a bit of tinkering with the economic machinery of state. There are people who hate and fear other people, and they look across the invisible barriers with loathing and prejudice. Much healing will be needed, a new spirit of reconciliation, or we will be back there with the burning villages, the mass graves, and the fear. The situation in Palestine, Israel, remains as fraught with potential disaster in the present time of crisis, with each side of that divide, it seems, bent on inflicting as much devastation on the other as the international community will allow. A bleak future will continue to be the only future there unless there is reconciliation between the parties. Bottom line, without reconciliation in the world, there is no hope. So we're not here engaged in some bland, neutral, academic, theoretical discussion. We are addressing, as the Christian faith invites us to address, a pressing and immediate need. Whether it is large scale or small scale, whether it is international or local, whether we're talking about historic treaties between warring factions, or just the need to make an important phone call that puts things right. Reconciliation is the name of the game. What we are about as the Church of Jesus. Big bust-ups or tiny tantrums, it's our job to be the reconciling church. And why is it our job? Because we are disciples of the reconciler. He has given us his spirit, and it is the spirit of healing and reconciliation, pushing us there, where we're called to be. Now, before we embark on this high calling, we have to remember how unfashionable it is. This commitment to spurn the ways of meeting anger with anger, hate with hate, and to choose instead to build bridges of healing in our fractious and delinquent postmodern times, in these days in which we live, vengeance and bitterness are legitimised in the media. Nursing your wrath to keep it warm is now an okay way to deal with things. Indeed, it's almost seen as the acceptable way to function. How else can we deal with an injustice done against us or an insult offered, if not to strike back even harder? Countless justifications are offered for countless atrocities on this very basis. After all, we don't want to seem to be a soft touch. A soft touch, right? But really, we have to face the question, what is being strong in this situation? What does it mean to be strong in this context of conflict? Is not the strong one the one who works to stop the rot, rather than simply let the bad situation sweep us along with its own ruthless momentum and inevitably painful consequences? Is it not, in fact, strong to reach out and take the other person's hand, rather than crank up the aggression and the aggravation? Is the strong person not the one who is prepared, if that's what it takes, to carry the pain, willing to take the risk of making the first move towards healing, prepared to bear the cost of reconciliation, which may be, in emotional terms, our notions about our dignity? Giving that up doesn't come cheap or easy. But in all these messy, complex, untidy situations, someone has to take the chance, take the initiative, even if it's going to put our pride at risk or make a joke of our personal dignity. This is the example we're given by the Christ we serve and follow. He took the form of a servant, was obedient to death, even to death on a cross, so that he could make things right between humanity and the God they had spurned. And anyway, when you think about it, the alternative to reconciliation is what? Ratchet up the pain? Learn to live with the intolerable divisions? Stoke up the fires of resentment? Let bitterness and regret rob us of our peace of mind? For the church, this is who we are and what we do. This is our business. At the family level, where some ugly feud has soured relationships, maybe for a generation, the Christian is called to make it work, to make it right, to work with inexhaustible commitment as bringers of peace and healing. In the rough and tumble of the workplace, in all the blood and mess that that can sometimes offer, where people are at each other's throats, where there's much more growling than sharing, we can be the instruments of peace, the channels of healing. And in any community where divisions abound between new arrivals in town and old worthies whose family has lived there for generations, between restless young people impatient for change and intransigent stick-in-the-muds refusing to budge, between foreign incomers and long-term locals, of all people, the church should be open and creative in the heat of those tensions. Of course, it's one of the great ironies of the Christian faith that after 2,000 years of Christendom, there are still divisions and suspicions between the various strands of the church family. Interchurch relations continue to improve, but the Spirit of Christ, Spirit of reconciliation, keeps prodding us to let the artificial or the accidental or the historical or the just plain stupid barriers tumble. Bring down the walls that divide and mock our oneness in Christ. And out there in that big, bad, beautiful, tortured world of international disharmony and conflict, the role of the church is crystal clear. And long ago, a good man spelled it out for us. Make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is discord, let me bring harmony. And if we find ourselves thinking, why us? Why me? Well, we have to think, who else is going to be doing it consistently, regardless of personal cost? This is a badge of honour, our badge of honour. The Master and Commander says, go and be healers. This immensely practical calling, one that makes our homes better and our community better and the world better, is also a deeply spiritual calling. For when we engage in the demanding, challenging, and sometimes even dangerous work of being a reconciler, then we find at that point we are, in that moment, involved in carrying out tremendously Christ-like work. We are sharing in the work that brings about the kingdom of God, makes it happen. And we may be sure that God will bless us and help us as we serve him. Fellow ministers, sharing together, today, tomorrow, in the week ahead, sharing together in the ministry of reconciliation. Amen.